Hello and welcome to an episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Triforce Todd. Joining me today is Wario Will.
You know, I don't think that's very cathartic about just shooting a 100-foot alligator with a tank. It is good to be back in the Garden of Insanity once again. This game.
And all the way from Italy, it's Tellius Tyler.
Tyler.
What do you mean you didn't pay the international fees? We told you ahead of time. Gosh dang it, Tyler, you had one job. Fine, we'll do this ourselves. Grabs the Infinity Gauntlet. All right, but yes, Tyler is away at a wedding vacation. Okay, can we just acknowledge the fact that apparently his brother decided, hey, I'm going to go get married in Italy during a quarantine world. Like, where was the logic in that exactly? And I'm hearing things in Europe, like they're already doing like lockdowns again. And so he might get trapped in Italy. So he might have to do international talking. I don't know.
And I know like they also have to do the whole at least 14-day quarantine or at least 7 days. Yeah. But yeah, like even the UK is like they also still have some rules over there as well. So, but why an engagement party, a bachelor party, or whatever, the wedding party over there in Italy this time?
That's,
I mean, sure, we're slowly getting better, but at the same time, don't count your chickens just yet.
I'm just saying, my cousin, she got married last year, one of the heights of the quarantine. And you know what she did? She had a small wedding reception. I wasn't even invited. I'm one of her favorite cousins. I wasn't even invited. All right. But we accepted it because she only had a small wedding. And we were like, okay. So we did a video message and, you know, we wished her well. And, you know, we did it because we're family. We're family. Okay.
Don't pull the Dom. Do not freaking do the Dommy. That thing is dead meme up. Dead meme.
The quarantine is strong, but it ain't family.
I mean, also, as well, I mean, just briefly, again, with marriage, the only really thing is just the paper. That's it. Just legal papers paper. And you're good. That's it. Paper. You can do the wedding afterwards.
I don't know. I was like, and Tyler, just to be fair, we're not making fun of you. We're just making fun of your whole family. See? Totally different. We're making fun of family.
And also expect a gator gift coming in the mail very soon, Tyler.
Yeah. I just want to say I am very impressed with you and your whole prodding of Tyler of his fear of gators and him, you trying to make him face his fear and his denial and, you know, whimpering. It's very beautiful to me. So, which means I'm a sadist, but I don't care at this point in time.
I mean, heck, after the last time he freaking joshed it to me when I had to disconnect, I'm like, oh, yep. Because of that whole Marianne situation, we won't touch again. But yeah, like, let's just say I had, like, during that fear, like, come on, Tyler, this is the perfect game to face your fears.
Yep.
Come on.
And Tyler wussed out. So, yes, the next 2 weeks, we're going to have so much fun at Tyler's expense. But first, what have you been playing? And Will, I know you've been waiting so long. So please take it away. No More Heroes 3.
Yep. Oh, man. So right now, I am currently clocked at right now nearly 20 hours of game time with No More Heroes 3. And yeah, it's as you expected from Suda51 himself. Like, just the pure insanity. This game oozes with style. Like, it, obviously, like, if you are a longtime fan of Suda51, I've been saying this past few podcasts, but basically, if you're a fan of Suda51, you owe it to yourself to actually play this game. Like, if you're probably a newcomer, you probably will likely get lost in the whole story, like, just this insanity, which, again, Garden of Insanity, Garden of Madness, and all that, but just like how much personality and style from the story, and just so much references, obviously from the Star Wars, from Tokusatsu, like Kamen Rider, and like just all these references that he loves, even from wrestling. I mean, I still love like doing brain busters, spine busters, even full on DDTs and power bombs. It's just like, yeah, Sue's love for wrestling is just like definitely up there. And obviously, a few criticisms is that, yes, like with the many reviews out there right now, like, yeah, the performance does kind of dip here in the overworld, like when you're traveling around, but that's really just more or less for collectibles, which I can honestly look past that, because all that really matters is the combat, and combat is very smooth. Like, once it's not like too much things like happening at once, like 4 or 5 enemies and a whole lot of particle effects, so combat is very satisfying. Though, like, I will put more criticism into my review, but, like, I'm just kind of sad that they don't have the Tsubaki Mark III or the weapon from No More Heroes 2 with the dual blades, which, like, come on, what happened to those things? I mean, sure, I like my good old Bloodberry tried Old Faithful, but where's my Master's Blade? That thing is so strong, and where's my Dual Blades? Like, come on, Suda. You could have done it, and, like, there's really no explanations for what happened to those blades or to the characters that like, I don't know, the hot doctor that mates your blades from the first two games is now suddenly a Sakura tree, which... Okay, Suda, I mean, I get it, you want to make things very unpredictable, but at the same time, at least give us some context. But I digress. Like, this game is just like it. When you think you know something, it just like subverts your expectations. You don't know what's coming up next. Like, some spoilers, like, there's one boss fight where you actually had to play musical chairs. I kid you not. And after that, you got to face the alien companion that says, Adrian! And yes,
Adrian!
Yes. So it's just like there's so much crazy things that's happening in this game. It's like, if you, yes, frame rate, performances, yada, yada, yada. You can definitely hold criticisms against it. But just play this game if you want something that's like completely out of the box. Because there's just simply nothing like it. Sure, it may not be great, but I swear, I promise you, if you play this game, you understand like why Suda51 is such an archer in like the industry, aside from Kojima, as I mentioned last week. But so if you get a chance to, if you get it at like a sales price or in bargain brands, highly suggest you getting it down the line. So yes, No More Heroes 3, it's just pure style. It's just pure punk.
All right. And then since we're already talking about it, Suda51 actually gave a message at the release of the game that talked about the future of the franchise, so please inform everybody in case they hadn't seen it.
So, if you haven't seen Suda51's Twitter account or his official, so apparently this game is indeed of the Travis Touchdown's saga, so most likely we will not be hearing any more stories in regards to, like, yeah, our favorite otaku assassin, and I don't know what happened at the ending. I still need to finish up, so who knows, but... In regards to the future of the No More Heroes franchise, like, he says he wants to make something else, maybe like a Shinobu spinoff, like one of the supporting characters as a main game, but that won't be further down the line, like in 10 years' time, and who knows what will happen until then. So, No More Heroes, as right now, No More Heroes, Travis Touchdown, the story's done, and again, he says sayonara to Travis Touchdown, which it is kind of sad, but again, I think this is probably the best way to like send him off. With like, well, four games total right now. Yeah, it's like I'll miss Travis, but I think it's best to like end it on a high before it gets like before it sours.
Yeah, and remember, you'll always have Smash Brothers. Oh wait,
technically he is in there, and actually, funny enough, I just on Smash Brothers during the event of release, and actually got both spirits of Travis and Fu, and I gotta say, like. Yeah, for the Travis Touchdown Battle Spirit, they actually used a me and put on Big Blue, and while playing, Live and Learn for his battle. So yeah, really go full on otaku. And for the Fu battle, Ash he put on as a Mewtwo with the assist trophy with first of Deoxys, and then with Gear him as the assist trophy. So with the whole alien aesthetic. So overall, very representative of the No More Heroes battles. So yeah, props to Sakurai for that one.
Interesting. As for me, I have, of course, been playing The Greatest Attorney Chronicles 2, and I am 3 cases into the second game now, and I actually think that this game holds up better than the second one, outside of that odd second case I told you about. I just, this one feels just, it's revised some of the things I didn't like about the first one, like the jury issues that were less annoying outside of case number 2. And like I said, I just got done with case 3 last night. Like, I stayed up late to beat that because I wanted to make sure I was on case 4 for today. And they had some serious twists and turns in that case. Like, this is what I love about Ace Attorney, is that they go so deep in the stories, and you think, oh, this is exactly what happened. And then it's like, no, we have one more twist in store. And it was really, really good. And then they did do one faux pas that I can't forgive, and this is a small spoiler for those who haven't played the game yet, but it's been over a month, so like, that's not my problem. There's a character that dies in the first game. He ain't dead anymore. And I'm like, how? How? Like, no. Don't do... No. Just don't. And they brought him back, and they don't even explain it. They go, oh, I knew you couldn't die that easily. He's a kid! Of course he can die that easily! People die easily all the time! That's why we're called humans! But then they did a twist with that that was actually really, really good, and I want to see how that plays out. But you could have done it without a very stereotypical resurrection. Because if you could bring them back, why not bring, you know, like, Mia back in a legit way instead of the spirit summoning thing? You know? It makes me mad because it was a key thing for our main character that this character died. And then all of a sudden, oh no, yeah, he's been alive the whole time. You just didn't see him. But what? Why didn't he search him out? Oh, he had amnesia. I know.
Not amnesia.
Yeah, every time, and it sucks because I've praised this game's animation like throughout my time with it. But there was a scene where Naruhito and Susato are talking and. They realize that this character might be alive, and the way they portrayed Susato when she's like, no, don't talk about that. I can't think of him being alive. It would hurt too much. And she has like the shaky crying eyes going on. And then she does this like this 180 turn to like hide her face because she doesn't want to show him the tears. And like it was just the way they portrayed it, the way the turn looked so natural. You know, I was just like, that was beautiful. And it makes me feel bad that, you know, now she does have to live with the fact that he was alive the whole time. I was like, why? Like, I get it. This, trust me, I know that the series is tropey as heck, but even they have limits and they just broke one of them. All right. You do not. They distinctly said he was dead. And they even had Sherlock Holmes or Sholmes or whatever, how you want to say his name, said he was dead. And it's like, oh no, I guess I was wrong. And he does like the Holmes laugh. Ah, ha, 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 ha. So like, no, like bad, bad game, bad. You should be ashamed. But yeah. So, but it's still a really great game to look forward to. I got two more cases than the DLC, which I strangely don't have access to for right now for whatever reason. But I love how long the games are. Like I even use a guide at times if I really just want to race through it just so I can go to bed. But like even with those guides, it's so long per like section, and you know you can spend easily 2-3 hours on just one section of a case if you're not able to see the clues. Which thankfully I am most of the time. But even then, there are some times when they just do like the most small hint of what you need to do, and it's like, what am I supposed to do? I don't know, but I figure it out eventually. So I guess I'm hoping that this game lasts me until Metroid Dread next month, because I don't know what I'll be playing otherwise. But I'm already looking forward to jumping back into this later tonight once I'm done with everything. So. And then, of course, they've been playing Fire Emblem Heroes, and you know they're doing the Lost Lore on a Path of Radiance, actually.
Yeah.
I actually don't like Lost Lore that much. I mean, it's easy way to get orbs, and I'll always like that. But they tell like the most truncated versions of the story, and I'm like, why? Like, I don't know why they did it like that.
I guess it's probably like they want to like try to make it as bite-sized as it can, because obviously people cannot don't have like the time to actually either look up YouTube videos or just like read up the entire lore of the games itself. I mean, again, granted, it definitely cuts out a lot of like details that makes it much more better, but I guess they're trying to like do as best can, try to like they shrink it down to as much as they can. So I don't know. I mean, it's just the whole set and forget it kind of mechanic that they do for the Lost Lores. So I mean, granted, it doesn't do justice, but they gotta do something at least.
Yeah, I was like, eh, I don't know, but we'll see. I'm just, you know, in the voting gauntlet, there. Well, who did you pick for that?
Easy, Gatekeeper.
As did I. So, I was thinking about doing like Erika or Ephraim, but I'm like, nah, let's do a Gatekeeper, and I think he's gonna win. Who knows? We'll see.
Right now, facing off against Olive, and last I checked, he doesn't have the multiplayer yet, but again, I've seen Bala so much frequent weak multiplayer, so who knows? Yeah.
So, all right. And with that, we now head to the news, because there honestly has been a lot going on news-wise. So, it's time to go down the warp pipe. And first, we talk about a surprising piece of news from today. Pokemon evolutions. Yes, Pokemon can evolve. Who knew? Now, this is actually an anime that is being made and will release this year as part of the Pokemon 25th anniversary. And it is going to be an 8-episode series with episodes focusing one per region. And to be clear, this is not going to feature Ash. It's going to be very much individual stories. Kind of like Pokemon Generations was about 5 years back. Is it really that long? But either way, this is going to be a celebration of Pokemon throughout the regions, and they did highlight certain characters that will show up, including, but not limited to, Leon, Lily, the leader Team Flare, Lysander, or however you say his name. There's going to be a whole bunch of legendary Pokemon, including more game-accurate versions like Lily Lunala.
Right.
And then they're teasing a lot. Oh, there's Lugia. We see a shot of Lugia and Zekrom with Alder, I believe that is. So there's a lot going on here.
It's just like the showing off so much of the legendary Pokemons out there. It's like all these things. Yeah, like from Leon facing up against Eternatus, and like apparently the Pokemon trainer will. From Sword and Shield will be making an appearance to face up against Eternatus himself. And just like, funny enough, just to like bridge it as well, because right now in the Pokemon Trainers EX, there's actually like an event where you actually can get these Pokemon Trainers with their legendaries right now with that legendary Lunala. So it's like, Pokemon Company is really doing quite something with this like collaboration and just like celebrating like the eventual release of Brilliant Shiny Diamond, Brilliant Pearl. So it's, I don't know. I'm kind of pretty excited for the show.
Yeah, and just looking at the animation, it's very much in the style of, you know, Twilight Wings, which was absolutely beautiful. And you all know how we liked that one, because the ability to tell like incredibly deep stories in like less than 8 minutes, it was really fun. Also, I forgot to mention that this will be the anime debut of the Pokeball Guy. Yes. A character 8 generations in the making.
Yeah, what finally he's real. It's like, oh my god, he's in anime form. Yep. Like, oh no.
And he's next to a real boom for some reason, so I'm guessing it's during a tournament battle or whatever. So, oh yes, and there will be a, I just paused at the right time. We're going to get the Shining version of, what was his name? Necrozma, so from the Ultra Sun and Moon game. So that's gonna be true. That was not in the anime, although they actually teased it. So it's gonna be interesting for sure. So, there is no release date for Evolutions as of yet, but we do know that it's gonna be quote timeless adventures that will be shown. So we shall see, won't we? We shall see. I'm just excited because they've really been crushing it between Pokétoons, Twilight Wings, and the anime. Master Journey should be coming out soon.
Yes,
so
yes.
That should be another week or two, I think. So we'll just have to pay attention for that. All right, next up we have an actual really big surprising announcement. Not that Evolutions wasn't that, but out of the blue, which seems to be Nintendo's theme for the last however many years, they just decided, hey, let's drop a big game release announcement on Twitter. So, ladies and gentlemen, Big Brain Academy is back.
Man, I haven't heard that game in a long time.
Yeah! So, but yes, they had the legendary Test Your Brain game, outside of Brain Age, of course. Okay, so which one came first? Was it Brain Age and then Big Brain Academy, or was it the other way around?
I believe it was... Brain Age, Age on the DS, if I recall correctly.
So, I remember Big Brain Academy was on the DS. I knew about Brain Age because that was one of Iwata's games. Like Iwata
Right.
Was literally the head guy. Ha ha. So, but anyway, so it's the newest title is coming to Switch, and it's going to be called Big Brain Academy: Brain versus Brain. So what does that mean? Well, they are heavily focusing on multiplayer this time, both in the local and on the internet side. So what you'll be able to do is, according to the trailer, you'll be able to play the games by yourself like you usually would. But then you could also have two people playing on one Switch console. So they'll just divide the screen in half and you'll be able to play it lengthwise. Or you can have a set of four people playing on the big screen and basically have family battles against one another. And then you can go online to battle other people. And then you can actually fight other people's ghost data, as they call it, and test yourself against others, even if they're not online themselves. So, yeah, and they actually did a really good job in the reveal trailer of showing just how everything is going to work. So I think I played one of the games. I think it might have been a demo, though. I really don't remember. I know I haven't owned them, but I think I played them when they were at the store back in the old days.
Right. I still remember actually playing Agent. I think possibly Brain Academy back in the old Toys R Us days. Right.
So actually, one of my favorite memories of it is actually from Robin Williams. Believe it or not, he was playing either Brain Age or Big Brain Academy on a show, or he was doing an interview. And he had to say what the color was on the screen, and he goes, blue. 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 Oh, wait, it's yellow. Like, they all died. They all died laughing, because he's like, I know it's blue. No, wait, it's yellow. So, oh, Robin, we miss you. So,
yep.
Now, the interesting thing for me, outside of this game's announcement, is that it's actually going to come to the Switch on December 3rd, which is only a few days away from the Advance Wars release. So maybe they don't think that'll hurt the sales or something. I really don't know.
Huh, funny enough, it's actually on my birth. And I guess, because again, those are two distinct games. One, obviously, for, well, increase your brain, while others is just a tactical game. So I don't think it's going to cannibalize itself too much.
But I think it'll be fine. But I know a lot of people are going to be surprised at this. And yeah, I think this will be one of those casual titles that absolutely sells well, especially with how the Switch is, with the, you know, large user base. So this is definitely going to be a million seller, no doubt. So
I mean, if you want to get some brain exercise, this is probably the game right now. I mean, the only game right now on the Switch, if anything else. So, yeah.
So we shall see. All right. Next up, we have third-party news with Square Enix and Bravely Default. Because if you recall, Bravely Default 2 came out earlier this year. I reviewed it, gave it a 4 out of 5. See, 4 out of 5, Tyler. 4. Not 4.5, 4. It definitely was not deserving of the 4.5. 4! And only that. So this one took quite a while to come out. We all admit that. I never played the first one or Bravely second, but I did play this one. And there was a question out there, given that it did well enough on the Switch. They say it's about a million copies sold on the Switch. And the PC version's coming out soon. So that'll help sales, obviously. But the question is, will there be another title in the line? Well, one of the head guys of the game, Tomoya Asano, talked with Famitsu and said, quote, Bravely Default 2 was well received by fans, and as a result, we're hoping to continue the series as we feel we can pull it off once again. With that said, we're still in the planning phase, and I suspect development will take another 3 to 4 years, so we'd appreciate if fans could bear with us, end quote. Wait, are they asking gaming fans to be patient? Wow, that's a reach. it's not like we're used to that at all.
Well, again, we just had a 1 year for so many delays right now. I mean, what the industry is itself, yeah, we're going to get delayed. And yes, we're even to the point where I have to wait an entire decade, maybe even more. Because again, like we're used to it. We're used to it. I mean, No More Heroes 3 was a decade old since the sequel, No More Heroes 2.
Kingdom Hearts 3.
And Kingdom Hearts 3 too, sure. So, but if we're gonna get the next entry for Bravely Default, I mean, I know Josh will love it, and many fans will. It's just like okay, like again, it won't be for a while, and who knows if we're still alive after 10 years or even longer. But here's hoping that we will see that next future entry of the franchise soon enough.
Yeah, and the other thing here is that obviously this actually factored into another decade-long wait for Neo: The World Ends With You. Square Enix is kind of busy. They,
I wonder why.
yeah, no, they're making a lot of games, and actually, not so ironically, Asano is one of the heads of Project Triangle Strategy, which is a game that we honestly haven't heard about in a while, but we'll be talking about that a little bit later. That's coming out in 2022. So currently, their people and thought processes are probably on that one. But if they get done with, Triangle Strategy soon enough, or whatever they actually decide to call it, please don't call it Triangle Strategy. That will not sell. That is not a selling name. All right, you got away with Octopath Traveler because that was on point enough. You cannot call it Triangle Strategy. Anyway, but should they, whatever they name it, once they're done with that, they could start focusing on Bravely Default 3. But I'm willing to let them, work at their pace. I don't know. Again, I don't know. It wasn't my favorite one ever, but I still enjoyed it. I had fun playing this game, and there were some really good elements to the story. So we'll see.
I mean, heck, I like yes, once they're done with Project Triangle Strategy, like honestly, because I know we heard about the whole Octopath Traveler mobile game, and frankly, I kind of want like a sequel to Octopath Traveler, like to what happened with the cast or it was gonna happen new cast at all. So I mean, low key, I kind of want a sequel to Octopath Traveler. But yeah, right now with Square Enix again with Final Fantasy 16, the whole Musou spin-off of Chaos, as well as I don't know, just like they definitely have a lot of things they're making right now. So it's definitely something to think about. Yes.
So, next up, we have. Okay, this one was very fun for me. We have Metroid Dread. They released a brand new trailer, and it showed off something that no one was really expecting, because we all thought that the real key enemy of this game was going to be the Emmy robots, and they are. But we got to meet another adversary of Samus, and it's a Chozo warrior, or at least that's the belief. It's not definitively confirmed. But there is a Chozo-esque warrior ready to go and fight Samus. Yeah, no one saw that coming.
Like even for like casuals like myself, like because we always hear about like how the Chozo, like again, obviously the power that taught Samus and all that obviously we always had that image that Chozo were generally peaceful, if anything else. But to see like this a Chozo basically going one to one with Samus, is like, okay, this Chozo means business.
Yeah. So for those who don't remember, the Chozo are the what do you call them, species? The species that saved Samus after Ridley destroyed her the colony and killed her parents. And they were the ones who infused her with their DNA so that she can do things like the Morph Ball and everything. But then all of a sudden they all basically disappeared and they're rarely seen anymore. And that includes being seen by Samus. And we've seen various Chozo monuments over the years in the games, but we've never seen her actually go, to my knowledge, we've never seen her go toe-to-toe with a Chozo warrior. So that begs the question, why is this Chozo warrior have it out for Samus? And part of the teasers for the game show that there is going to be some secret history of sorts shown of the Chozo. So that makes it even more intriguing. Yeah. And then, as if all of that is not enough, Crait's back.
Oh yeah, that's great. Oh my
Yeah.
lord,
Yep.
yes. Yeah,
Why? How? We don't know.
it's bad enough we gotta face that guy before back in the old like yeah, 8-bit and 16-bit days, but now he's back again, like jeez, why won't you die?
Yeah, well, we always say that to Ridley too. But yeah, Kraid's back, and don't worry, he won't be trying to knock the stage around like he does in Smash Brothers, but he's still gonna be a pain in the butt. So yeah, and then there's Nintendo's been doing a lot of big teases of the powers that that Samus is gonna have with her special Aeon abilities and the missiles and such. So it's gonna be very interesting to see what happens here, and I'm just rewatching the trailer because Yeah, this is going to be a rather interesting game. I'm so pumped for this. Well, I am not kidding when I say I am absolutely pumped for Metroid.
I like, yeah, with each trailer they release right now, I mean, again, just seeing Samus again, like, and of course, this is gonna be like as I said, the last chapter of the whole Metroid saga. We're just like, yeah, how are the Metroids gonna like play into this? Why Kraid's back? Why this Chozo Guardian is back? Like, and of course, like, where's Ridley in this all the situations?
Yeah.
Like, there's so many things, and of course, like, with the combination of the Emmys and like, obviously, this is like prepping to like that transition to the Prime Saga. It's like, yeah, what? I can see why a lot of people are just like so invested in this lore, because like, it's been so many years, and like, this is that missing chapter that's been many people has been expecting for so long.
Yeah. So definitely, again, that's coming out on October 8th. So there might be another trailer or two. So we'll just never never know. You never know. So stay tuned for that, all right? Next up. Oh gosh, it's this story. Oh yes. I'm waiting for this. Okay. I know this technically isn't gaming related or Nintendo related, but we gotta talk about it. So here's the deal. When Mortal Kombat 11, which is on the Switch, it's one of Tyler's favorite games. Isn't that right, Tyler? When it was on the Switch, of course, they had all that DLC content, and the DLC content was like ripe with third-party characters from the understandable to the, well, the insane. I mean, Rambo? How? Okay. But hey, at least they got Stallone to do it. I'm just that was a plus. Anyway,
Yes.
so when that happened, there was a certain character that everybody was saying should be in the game. Ultra Instinct Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. Now, there was. I've got to explain this because this is going to make no sense if you're just hearing this for the first time. So, here's what happened. There was a Scooby movie like years ago. I do not remember which one it was, but I remember the scene. Shaggy gets like hypnotized or something like that to where he goes from a scared guy to a powerful warrior. Like.
Yep. Basically a badass. He faces off against those biker gang, last I
Yes!
remember.
Do you remember what the movie was?
I forgot that name of the movie, but I
Here.
know I have seen a clip. Yes.
Look it up while I'm talking about this, all right? So everyone was talking about, well, heck, if they're gonna have, like Terminator and Joker and Spawn, why don't you just put Shaggy? Because they showed that he would fight. And they called that mode, if you want to call it, that in Ultra Instinct, and off of Goku because of Dragon Ball Super. And so they actually started making art of it, and it looked really, really cool. So a petition got started because we all know how those go. And they got like hundreds of thousands of signatures showing or stating that Ultra Instinct Shaggy, or whatever you wanted to call it, should be in Mortal Kombat 11. And it literally got to the point where during one of the original streams before the launch of Mortal Kombat 11, or after, I don't remember, before or after, doesn't matter. They said they acknowledged the petition and said that Shaggy wouldn't be in the game. So fast forward to now, and he's still not in the game, but Ultra Instinct Shaggy exists. How is that possible? They have been making, aside from the live action movie that Tyler has not seen, but I've seen it. They are making the cartoons again of the Mortal Kombat 1, and their second animated movie of the recent run is Battle of the Realms. And so, like they do with most, Warner Brothers animations, they go and do the title card sequence. And in this one, they had Scorpion popping out of the logo and going and doing his various moves. And then the logo opens up, and you hear, like, "Get over here, man!" And Shaggy pulls him into the logo and looks at the screen, Scooby in the background, and he's in full Ultra Instinct mode. And it is the most glorious thing you have ever seen.
Honestly, I thought there was like a whole meme. Like, that can't be real. I literally thought that can't be real. And like, oh my God, WB actually pay attention to memes now. Oh my God. And
Yes.
for the record as well, the movie that he gave become Baza is Scooby-Doo: Legend of the Phantasaur. That was the movie it was
The
called.
Phantasaur. That's one of the ones I've only seen like once, I think.
Yeah, and yeah, just. I mean, granted, I'm glad that WB Animations ex acknowledges the meme of Ultra Instinct Shaggy, and just because also with the recent another movie, well, not WB, but another Scooby-Doo movie with Scooby-Doo and Courage the Cowardly Dog, which
Yes.
That I was like, wow. I never knew I wanted it, but I want it.
Yeah. And the other reason I wanted to mention this was that there's the 11-second clip of that title sequence flying around, and one of the people who decided to post it was none other than Ed Boon. And he said, "Holy crap!" with a K. "You people were right all along. Shaggy confirmed." So there you go. Ultra Instinct Shaggy is canon. You're welcome.
Yeah, how about putting that in the next Mortal Kombat game? Like, at least even a cameo, at least. Just put in an Easter egg. Just an Easter egg that way you and B was surprised.
Okay, Will, I know it's a stretch, but go with me on this. Ultra Instinct Shaggy is the last Smash Brothers character. There have been plenty of Scooby-Doo games on Nintendo systems.
That they have.
It is. And this would obviously be a much more family-friendly fighting game. Than Mortal Kombat, you know. And then the final Smash could be like they get in the Mystery Machine and they run over people.
That would be the most left field or even the left space kind of character, if anything else. I mean, like,
so it's perfect.
Like, yeah, it would pretty much go into the point of, like, I don't know, the whole shooting for the stars of Goku, if anything else. But Ultra Instinct Shaggy as the last Smash character. Yeah, that would probably break the internet, sure. I think that would be probably even bigger than Sephiroth. That, I would agree that probably be, would be bigger than Sephiroth.
Oh, now I want it more than ever, just so I can get that point in the draft. All right, but I know that was totally left field for us, but it's one of those stories that just brings a smile to your face, and especially nowadays, that's exactly what we need, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep.
So, all right, next up, and I promise this is a gaming one. It's Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle. We have it has been the 4th year anniversary since the game launched. The game originally launched on August 29th, 2017. And they decided to post some brand new art of it, or a celebration art. And not surprisingly, it's a rabbit stealing a cake and leaving nothing for everybody else. You mean, mean rabbit! Mean! So, yeah, we haven't heard much of Sparks of Hope since E3. I almost said EA. E3, but I'm hoping soon, because that game's also coming out in 2022.
I mean, the only thing we had, like, that's very minorly about is during Gamescom, during that whole sham of an award show at the, like, the People's Choice Awards at Gamescom. But, yeah, we only hear, like, a little bit of details. But we only, aside from the whole Rosalina, Rabbit, and everyone from that last major trailer we got saw at E3, yeah, they want us been very quiet. And, I don't know, maybe it was Ubisoft situation. I don't know, maybe it's production, development, who knows. But right now, they're fairly keeping it close to the chest right now.
And I'm fine with that because, quite frankly, why not? I mean, they kept it quiet for so long.
Right. Before that Major League in the first game, right? But
right.
I think they definitely learned a lesson. Like, no leaks. We're actually going to do the Nintendo way of keeping this close to ourselves. So, yeah. Oh. So perhaps they learned a lesson that way, yeah.
So we'll see, but I always like anniversary because it makes me think. Because I can't believe it's been 4 years since Rat Kingdom Battle. Like that just seems so long.
I mean, yeah, during the when the, yeah, pretty much at the time when the Switch release came out, and I mean, also just as a related, like also if we're talking about anniversaries, we also just hit the 2nd anniversary of Astral Chain as well. On August 31st, yeah.
Wow.
This past August.
I feel
yeah,
so old.
And so, like, they also celebrate as well, like, an image of, like, a cake as well, of all the Legion and the main character cast. So, yeah, it's already the 2nd year of Astral Chain already.
Yeah, you want to talk about complete insanity games, go play Astral Chain. Like, oh, gosh, that game was something. So,
yeah.
I'm up for a sequel, though. I really am. So, Sorry. Next up, okay, this is for me and Will. It's about Death Battle.
Yep.
So they did a teaser trailer for the back half of the season. They took a small hiatus to DBX and they released the trailer to tease what's coming, and oh, what is coming indeed. So we already knew about Batman versus Iron Man with all of their suits of armor. That's gonna be fun in and of itself. But then they revealed some new characters that we did not know about, including Korra from Legend of Korra, Dio from JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Alucard, son of Dracula, from Castlevania, Madara from Naruto, Aizen from Bleach, D or sorry, I said Dio, Oni Akuma, and then Macho Man Randy Savage versus the Kool-Aid Man. Oh yeah!
Just for corrections, so we're going to Dio. It's actually for Dio versus Alucard from Helsing.
No, it's Alucard. Really? I thought it was Alucard from Castlevania.
Because I recognize Takahata from Team Four Star. That is full on Helsing.
Okay. Well, I heard. I
I
thought.
could be wrong. I don't know. Check the tapes, but I'm pretty sure that's Takahata 101 from Team Four Star. I'm pretty
Okay.
sure.
Okay. If it is either way, like I heard the original intent was supposed to be Dio versus Alucard Helsing, but that guy is so dang hard to kill. Like there's a question of whether he could even die. And so then the question was, no, it's gonna be Alucard from Castlevania, who is also a vampire, obviously. So I don't know.
It would be an interesting take, sure. Okay, sure.
I
That
can
would be
guarantee you there
interesting.
will be a fight against a character named Alucard.
Yeah, that's a good. Yeah, that's where you can put that comment
Yeah,
right there.
there
Yes,
will be an Alucard character. I guess we just don't know which one. So whatever. Anyway, but yeah, this makes me happy because Death Battle is one of my favorite shows. I so want to work for them, and I did ask them what I need to do to work for them. They said go to this website and wait for a writer position to open up. So I shall wait. I shall wait. But this is insane. There are so many matchups that I totally want to see, especially the Legend Korra, because Korra is a very special character to me. So I don't know. And then there's going to be at least one Nintendo character showing up, hopefully, because we had Link versus Cloud, which was awesome. But
Oh man, like,
yeah, go ahead.
I mean, like, yeah, I'm currently thinking, like, right now, what kind of characters could be possibly be in a good deathmatch battle? Like, who we haven't had seen fight before? Ah, man, I'm just gonna brainstorming right now.
Go ahead. Well, it's just that's actually what I love about Death Battle is that they have the ability to just pull out these characters and put them in matchups you never would have thought of. Like in the first half of last season, we had Poe versus Iron Fist. I would never have thought of that, you know, because it's the Kung Fu Panda. Like, why would you put him in a death battle? And then he wins. Spoilers. So, like, that was a thing. And then Captain Falcon versus Johnny Cage.
Oh,
Are you kidding me? Like that
yep.
was one of my all-time favorites, you know, only one can be worthy. But there is potential. Like they brought Akuma back, who he was in season one, versus Shang Tsung. So, you know, they could, and of course they brought back Link to do the Link versus Cloud rematch that Link should have totally won. And so there are characters, like there like seriously, like not breaking anything, any spoilers, but Ben Singer, head of Death Battle, asked straight up of a Fire Emblem character that should be in Death Battle because they have not touched the franchise yet.
Yes. I actually do want a Fire Emblem character to
Yeah.
actually fight in one of their matches. Yes, yes,
So
yes.
my suggestion, and I know this might be, I don't know the power, I know this is risky because of who the franchise is I want the Black Knight. I know. Oh, I thought. Oh, it's gonna be you're gonna pick Ike. No, actually, I'm gonna pick the Black Knight from Fire Emblem Path of Radiant Dawn, and I want him to go up against the Dark Knight of Final Fantasy IV. Remember the guy who went from the dark side to the light side? That guy. His name escapes me. I don't know why I can never remember his
Gobes?
name. What?
No, was it Gobes? I forgot
No,
his
I'm
name.
gonna look that
Gobes?
up. Final Fantasy, four. Four. Yeah, there you go. Final Fantasy IV characters. Rydia, Perron, Tellus, oh yeah, Kane.
Oh,
K
Kane.
Kane Highwind. There you go. And then wait, or is it Cecil? No, it was Cecil. That was it. It was Cecil Harvey. He was the Dark Knight turned the White Knight. There you go. But yeah, so that guy I think would be cool because he's powerful, but the Black Knight specifically has armor that you cannot damage unless it's blessed by the goddess. So how does that how would that work? And but Ike is an obvious one. Ike or Marth is an obvious one, but as many people have noted, it's really hard to nail down like specific stats and feats because every playthrough of the game can have not just different results, but different additions from the characters, like us, the people, you know?
Right. Like, yeah, obviously, as the avatar, you can do different altercations, like different Asian, all the base stats, all that. Like, heck, even if you take example from like Byleth, like even that is just like, again, your avatar could be either be a mage, a lancer, whatever class you want to change it as. So yeah, as an avatar character, right.
Yeah. So Fire Emblem is tricky, but there are a few characters I feel you could get away with, and one of them is Black Knight, because we saw him beat Grail definitively, and Grail is of course one of the strongest characters of that line. He beat Ike multiple times until he got Ragnell, and even then he lived despite having a castle buried on him. And you know, goddess blessed armor, has the goddess blessed blade, so there I think he's got some he's got some potential, but I don't know who you'd put against Ike, because the honest answer is a swordsman, but it's really hard to gauge how good Ike is. Ike is stated to be the best swordsman in the land by the end of Radiant Dawn, but what does that mean?
Right, and of course we can't do Guts, because he's just like he's another level. Like,
no,
as much as I love Ike, he's another level. So like, they can't do that.
With the berserker armor, Guts overpowers just about anybody. Like, that's literally the point.
Pretty much.
Now, so, I could say that Ike would be able to do damage to the berserker armor. I feel confident in that with the goddess blessed blade. But Ike would go for a killing blow and think it's done, and then Guts just gets back up. It's like, because yes, that's how the armor works.
That's how Guts is that badass. Yes.
Yeah. So.
But yeah, like the combination of the battles with Ember and all that, like, it's just like, this is like one of their main strong suits of that battle, like all these different battles. And of course, like, yes, that way we don't fans, like, no way, like, JoJo couldn't face against Kenshiro because, again, he doesn't have a stand user. Like, yes, there's that in the whole arguments, videos, yada, yada, yada. But credits do. Like, they actually do have, like, some good amount of reasoning, even if you don't agree to it. They have at least have some sort of, like, reasoning to these fights. So, I mean, right now, like, take, for example, like, the next coming battle of Batman versus Iron Man.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, two big millionaires with many different suits, with a lot of time on their hands. It's just like, yeah.
I like that. They got a lot of time in their hands. You know, saving the world, you know, running multi-billion dollar businesses. Yeah, they got time. Time to build massive suits of armor! So, but yeah, I don't know if there is going to be a definitive, you know, Nintendo character, but I can hope and pray. I can hope and pray. So, but the Batman versus Iron Man kicks off back half of the final 8 episodes, and that starts on September 12th. So be ready. And then finally, we have a rumor on the gaming side, and it's about Nintendo Switch Online. Ooh. So apparently, there's a rumor going around that they're going to be adding Game Boy and Game Boy Color games to the Switch store. Sorry, the Switch Online store soon. I'm curious. Then again, I don't really play the games that they have on there now. So,
well, like, there is definitely some games, obviously, with how, unfortunately, Nintendo's been cracking down on ROM sites and all that, especially with that recent crackdown on that Smash Bros. Tournament, which, curse you, Nintendo.
Yeah, we're not happy about that either.
Yeah, but regarding to this news with Game Boy Color games coming to the Nintendo Switch Online, I mean, that is, like, as much as it's not SNES4, but I'll take it, because, again, there are some also good games from the Game Boy Color days. I mean, if they bring back, I don't know, Pokemon Pinball, or heck, even the original Link's Awakening back in those days, all those years ago, like, there's like a fairly good amount of Game Boy Color games, or even just Game Boy games in general, that would make an easy transition. So, would be nice, but again, you want N64 games.
Yeah. Or just, you know, N64 Mini. Just saying.
Don't get started, because like I mean even to the point like okay, we just did the NES, then the SNES Mini, like, and the N64 Mini. I mean, that's probably like where they're most likely gonna end it, because I granted, if they're gonna do like a GameCube Mini, I think that's maybe pushing it a little bit too much, because like GameCube's not actually that too retro. I mean, yes, it's like been 20 years since, but it's not. I don't think it would be enough to warrant it to have another mini of the GameCube. But it would be something. I mean, if they compile like all the Fire Emblem, Path of Radiance, Radiant Dawn game in that GameCube mini, then yes, that would perfectly be a great reason to get the GameCube mini. But I digress.
There you go. All right, and finally. But for our main event, we're going to talk about something that we hope happens this month, because it is September somehow. And there is going to be a lot coming up for the Switch in the next few months. And then, of course, as we are in now, the final 4 months of the year, September, October, November, December, we need to start planning for next year. And what better way to do that than with the Nintendo Direct, because we have not had one since officially E3 2021, which was good. It was a very good Direct, but we need another one, and we need to know what they're going to talk about. But what are they going to talk about? Me and Will are going to break it down in a Nintendo discussion. Alright, so we're just going to do this very simply tonight. We're just going to talk about what we personally hope to see, what we think they'll show, and so on. And to start, I think they're actually going to ignore most of the games that are coming out this year, outside of maybe new trailers. And here's why I say that. We just had the Pokemon Presents, and that talked about both Brilliant Diamond, Shining Pearl, and Legends Arceus. In fact, they did an incredible deep dive into Arceus. It would be a little redundant for them to reiterate. Maybe show a new trailer for both? Sure, why not? Just reiterate, hey, this is coming. Metroid Dread, they'll totally do a new trailer. Maybe do a little more in-depth. Maybe talk about the AI abilities. Yeah, maybe talk more about that Chozo Warrior and Krait. And maybe Ridley, they decide to show him off. But I'm sure they'll want to keep a little bit of mystery.
To put on the ideas right now, like, personally for me, obviously, as we approach, once we head into the season, like, I think maybe we'll have at least one more look. We're going to Shin Megami Tensei 5 before release, so I have a feeling that's going to be very likely. And, like, if we're going to go Metroid, yes, like, I don't know, maybe it's still too early, but perhaps maybe just a teaser, or at least an update progress on Metro Prime 4. But that's a pipe dream. That's a pipe dream, so that's unlikely.
Don't give me hope, Will. Don't give me hope. But yeah, the other thing for me is that the only real, if we're being like fully honest in terms of full first party, the only one they really, I feel, should talk about is Advance Wars. Because they did the trailer at E3, and that was fine. They said, hey, yeah, these are the, you know, the full-on remakes of the first two games. Great. But, like, talk about them more.
Right.
Because there's going to be a lot of people who don't remember those games. I only played one of them, Advance Wars, I think, what was it called, The Sons of Ruin or something. And it was a good game, don't get me wrong. But, like, I don't remember the first two at all. So this would be a perfect time to dedicate, like, you know, 4 or 5 minutes about the game, remind people how it works, like what the story is and why they should get it on the 7th of December. And then outside of that, now would be a perfect time to showcase some of the 2022 first party games that are coming. But what are they? The only one we really know about is Arceus. And like I said, they've already talked about that. So skip that and go right into some of the big announcements. Get us excited for what's coming next year, first party wise.
Right, like, just to recap as well, like, yeah, aside from Arceus, we also got, of course, Project Triangle Strategy, if they get released in 2022.
But that's third party. I'm talking first party.
That's my bad. But right. Splatoon 3.
Yes!
We haven't heard anything from Splatoon 3, so I think this probably is a prime time to actually hear more details. I mean, heck, from the pattern of how they reviewed the past two games, like, yeah, at least give us some details, or heck, the new music group that's going to be suffering in this desert wasteland of Thunderdome. So, yeah, definitely give some details on Splatoon 3.
Yeah, I honestly completely forgot about that, so there you go. That's how long it's been, it seems, because I haven't thought about Splatoon outside of a certain wrestling logo that was just very, very bad. Anyway, so but yeah, first party wise, they have some things to build up, but then third party wise, they got plenty that they could show. They got Shin Megami Tensei, like you talked about. They got Project Triangle Strategy. There's Mario Rabbit Sparks of Hope. So, and then there's going to be no doubt some other surprises. So I'd say lightly focus on what's happening this year because we're already hyped for most of it. And then go full tilt on, you know, what's coming up. And so that they say, hey, 2022 is going to be a super big year. Including maybe, you know, Breath of the Wild 2, maybe, hopefully, possibly, potentially.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Like other titles that I probably also be wanting, like, yeah, like maybe just also touch a bit more on the new Super Mario Party remake for that, like show maybe one more new stage and all so forth. Like, yeah, as you said, definitely like with previous presentations from before, like definitely only touch upon a little bit of like this year, like on the things that's already been announced, like, because that's kind of like the major complaint for a lot of people. It's like, but we already know this stuff already, so we want something new. Like, as much as people gripe, that they do got a point. So like, definitely give us something that we haven't heard like a long time, like as we said before, Splatoon 3, Mario and Rabbids, so yeah, definitely have something to give us something new. Like, I don't know, what is Sega cooking up? What is Ubisoft or all these many other studios that's currently making? I mean, heck, I'd be surprised if Platinum Games, yeah, Bayonetta 3, which obviously has been so meme to the point that is it dead or not? It's just like, yeah, we probably it's time. Like, yeah, we'll probably hear Bayonetta 3, but who knows? Who knows? You know, Kentucky Kamiya. So just focus on definitely the new things. As much as you want to go, be safe and just like reintroduce or give more details to the current projects you already announced already, definitely give us like a more like what is to expect in 2022. Like, again, we have Splatoon 3, but and of course Breath of the Wild 2. But what else is there on the horizon? Like, what there is for the other licenses? That's we got Zelda, we got Splatoon, like. And granted, we got Mario to help us satisfy in the second half, the end of the year. But next entry for Mario, that's definitely one of the major things as well.
Maybe.
So just definitely a lot of IPs. I mean, tech. I think now is the time to actually go and try to like break out any like dormant IPs, like a certain racing franchise which nobody touches anybody again, or heck, Donkey Kong, or as I said many times, over Takahashi's Castle, or just like something that you have not touched in a long, long time. I mean, heck, Abby's very surprised even do a whole Star Fox reboot aside from the disastrous Wii U version. But I don't know, heck, bring back, even Star Fox is probably a good time to revitalize back. So, but who knows.
Yeah, there's all these rumors. I mean, the rumors that I've literally started to hate clicking on because I'm like, oh yeah, what's the rumor this time? You know, there was the rumor about a new Donkey Kong game. There was a rumor about a Fire Emblem remaster, maybe Genealogy of the Holy War.
Right.
There's so many rumors, and like, oh, Mario Kart 9's like almost done. It's just they didn't want to release it this year or something like that. I don't know if I believe that, but you know, there's all these rumors, and they had to come from somewhere. I mean, I would like to think it wasn't just a random Grinch rumor, right, Tyler? Yeah, that's what I thought. So, there's definitely potential for them to go big with these announcements. Just the question of will they do it and when? Because I definitely think they'll do it maybe like the second, third week of the month. You know, they're not going to do it in the next few days, obviously, because it's Labor Day weekend. And as we all know, you don't wear a Nintendo Direct after Labor Day. So
right.
Maybe like, let's see, maybe the 15th or 22nd, maybe, you know, nice.
At the end of September or the beginning of October, because that will feel like is a prime moment to get ready, right, like at the near middle of the fall season. Yeah. Plus to get ready for the holiday season coming forth.
Yeah,
and of course, naturally, still.
Go ahead.
Well, with going to like with the direct plus with the VGAs at the end of it, which yeah, that probably is the next major prime spot for Nintendo news. So like yeah, you have those two major outlets right now. So either be in the middle of fall and of course the VGAs. So those are the prime spots to actually give us something. And of course, naturally with going to the final character of Smash DLC.
Yeah,
so yes.
Well, we'll talk about that in a second. But the other reason I think they'll definitely come out before the beginning of October is that they'll want to use it as another press point for Metroid Dread, because it's coming out on the 8th of October. So they'll use it as like, hey, it's coming out next week, you know, potentially or whatever. So a lot, there's many ways they could do it, but I do hope they do it this month. So let's get right to that next point, which is, will they do the Smash Brothers reveal in this Nintendo Direct should it come?
It's likely.
Because I've heard two different things. I've heard it's going to be like, because again, they've been doing a solid like 3 months apart from each other, and that means we're right where we need to be for the next one, because June and July, July to August, August, September, that's 3 months. And I've heard other ones say, no, they're going to wait until the VGAs. I'm like, that's a long wait. So, like, that's another 3 months. So,
Right at the end of the year. Right at the end of the year. So,
yeah. I
unless
they're going to
do a whole
that.
Shadow drop. Unless they're going to do a whole Shadow drop, but unlikely.
Oh, you think it's going to be Shadow? Get it.
It's already an assist trophy.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
It's like, we're going to, yeah, when obviously with that whole news, we're going to let that last character, like, of course, naturally, people's going to be mad. That's kind of the big, always has been on the bingo card. And, like, it's just, we've come a long way since from the first season pass. I mean, and now we're finally at the end of the road now with this after Kazuya of Tekken. Just, like, who is it going to be now? And who's, like, heck, I'd be very surprised if they're going to even do the whole last set of Mii costumes, because this is going to be the last thing. So what else is going to be? I mean, again, they did show off Shantae, Travis Touchdown, all these different costumes that we dreamed of being in Smash, but unfortunately aren't. Yes.
Yeah.
So it's just wondering who is that last one that's just, like, that's what's pretty much the main fire for many Nintendo fans right now.
I agree.
This is keeping up until for 2021.
It's the problem for many is the fact that they've been kind of, I don't want to say inconsistent, but random in like the peaks of epicness that they did. Because they obviously started off huge with Joker. Like,
yes.
No one saw that coming. Like, no one saw Joker coming, you know, for obvious reasons that we've talked about on the podcast before. Bring Persona 5 to Switch.
that would be amazing. Bring Persona 5.
There you go.
Put
that on the Nintendo Direct. There you go. But no one saw that coming, and it was beautiful that we didn't see that coming, because it made all the more fun. And then, you know, then they had, you know, we had Terry, we had Banjo, we had Hero from Dragon Quest. Then we ended with Byleth, which was a very curious choice in the eyes of some. We started off with Min Min. Then we got, you know, Minecraft Steve and Pirate Mithra and Sephiroth. Da-da-da-da. And now Kazuya. So you'd think that they would end with a bang. Like, this is the end-all, be-all character. We're sending you out in style. But again, who's bigger than Sephiroth? Like, impact-wise, you know, and, you know, character trailer-wise, who could be bigger than Sephiroth? And there are a few, but could they get them, or do they want them? And for all we know, they could just pull a swerve and pull a metaphorical Joker and just say, like, and troll us all with a Duck Hunt dog, you know? Because that dog is still laughing all day long.
It's definitely, yeah, because, like, this is going to be the last thing, so, and of course, as Sakurai said himself, like, these things have already been chosen beforehand, which, like, again, we only can help but wonder. Plus, we're going to the special figurines kit that Sakurai keeps in his office, so maybe for references, so I can only imagine what it is that he has in his office that's actually based on the character. So, like, it's just so many things, like, who is more iconic than Sephiroth? Or all these other major characters in their own right. Like, it's anybody's guess. It's definitely anybody's guess. So,
like, and that's part of the fun. Let's not lie about this. It's part of the fun. and trying to guess it all.
And, like, right, again, Sakurai definitely also has that technique of, like, really subverting expectations, pulls under the rug. Like, okay, I did not expect Min Min is pretty obvious, but, yeah, Minecraft Steve, that thing came out of nowhere, but, again, that's kind of the worst.
Or the Pyro Mithra duo, when everyone thought it would be Rex.
Oh, yeah, definitely, that was a big one.
Yeah, that was a big one. Or Kazuya.
Yeah.
Because, you know, everyone thought, like, Jin or Hayashi, but it was Kazuya, so okay.
Yep. So, like, what other character can just really pause under the rug, aside from Waluigi? So, I wonder.
He's an assist trophy! You keep his name out of your mouth! But, I don't know. And again, we obviously don't know when they're going to reveal it.
Should they reveal it at all?
But we gotta hope that they're going to reveal it sooner rather than later, because the longer this goes, the more insane it's going to get, because I am getting seriously tired of all of these stupid, oh, you know, this insider is saying this and this insider is saying that. They're saying everything wrong.
Right. Okay, like I'm tired Mach of it. Rider or like Excite Truck, or just like, or even Elite Beat Agents and all that.
God. Like, and Tyler believed that. I'm sorry, Tyler. I'm going to make fun of you again. You believe that. You believe the Karich Link. You thought there's no way this is wrong. And then it was all wrong. You are wrong. All of you are wrong.
Just how it all, like, yeah, like, let's just finally put this thing to bed. Let the, like, no more rumors. No more, like, possible talks of sequels. This is going to be it. Let's just put, like, just put it down already. Put it down. Yeah.
Yeah. So, we shall see. We shall see. And with that, we are ending this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Tyler! Tyler, poll question. What do you mean you don't have the poll? Oh, screw you, Tyler. I know you had it. You're supposed to have it. I'm just kidding. He had it up. All right. The question for last week was, are you going to get No More Heroes 3? 40% said yes. 10% said no. And maybe when it's on sale, hit 50%.
Mm-hmm. Sure enough. And actually, it went on sale after 1 week from GameStop. Now it's actually at $50 right now. So yes.
Really? Interesting. Now, yes. I do want to note one thing, though, Will. And you may have free reign to make fun of him for this. Twitter notes that Tyler voted no. He was the only no in the entire poll. So, shame! Shame on you, Tyler!
Come on, Tyler. This is the perfect opportunity to face up against your alligator foes. Come on!
Pretty much. And that's no croc. Alright, so, and of course, let us know about everything we've talked about today, from Pokemon Evolutions. Are you excited for that one? Are you going to get the Big Brain Academy game for Switch? Are you more excited now for Dread with that new Chozo trailer? What do you think of Ultra Instinct Shaggy being canon? I am never going to get tired of saying that.
And if Shaggy's going to be the last character, that was like, okay, yes. That's it, the internet's done.
Ultra Instinct Shaggy confirmed for Smash. Oh, wait, I got it. Shaggy brings the snacks for Smash.
Because, and like, just before we wrap it up, like, again, I can only imagine how the last trailer is going to be. Like, yes, we're going to bring everybody. Let's bring in Ariel. Let's make it big. Yeah. And then, like, we show off the last character there. It's like, we got, like, Sakurai, like, he as you said, he's a perfectionist. He wants to make the center thing with a bang. So I feel like maybe I'm expecting too much, but I feel like that's probably what Sakurai would do.
Okay. Oh, I got an idea. This is a legit idea. So, think about the Sephiroth trailer.
Yep.
He killed the World of Light guy, but that wasn't the only big bad, was there? There was the Darkness dude as well. So, what if the final trailer is all of them squaring off against the Darkness guy, and all of a sudden the final character shows up, kind of like Sonic against Taboo, and just makes a grand entrance, and is like, okay, we got this! And... You know, whoever leads the charge for Smash and whatever, and we see him go up against the Darkness and everything, and you know that'd be kind of fun parallel to what
Wait
we
a
had
minute.
Before.
Dark Kingdom Hearts.
Oh. What? Yes. Sora confirmed. It's like Sora brings the light.
It would match with the team. It would match. The
that
team.
Would. That would be perfect, because Sephiroth was a dark dude killing the light, and Sora is a light dude killing the darkness. Oh, that is symmetry, baby! That is symmetry! So let us know if you definitely want that to be the final Smash reveal. And then we'll see you next week. So, for Warrior Will and the internationally traveling Tyler, I am Triforce Todd. Ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We made it to the end of the level. So... raise the flag!